Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, September 30th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 50, the first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people. Through one paragraph ending, we never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Leland P., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Chanel T., Janice P.M., and Penny L.C. The reference number for Sunday, September 29th, is 21,784. That's 21784. And for this morning, Monday, September 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,785. That's 21785. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting for the entire month. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Leland P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks. I'm Leland P., a recovering compulsive overeater in Germany. These are the 12 steps of OA. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks so much for letting me be of service this month.
Thank you so much, Leland P. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thanks for letting me be of service this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 50, that first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people through one paragraph ending, "We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing." And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I will now ask Chanel T. to read and then share with us.
Good morning. This is Chanel in Washington State, and I am a grateful recovered compulsive eater. I am recovered today by the grace of God. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes used their shortcomings as a base of wholesale condemnation. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We missed the reality and the beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. Well, intolerance. I've heard it said that an addict is the only person who can be lying in the gutter looking down on other people. And that was me when it came to not just the spiritual life, but the spiritual life in OA. I looked down on this. It wasn't meeting what I felt when I came in 2016, first time around. I just wanted to lose the weight. That's just what I wanted. And y'all are talking about the steps, and I've heard about those, and I'm sure they're great, but can we get to the business of dieting with group support, free dieting with group support? Thank you very much. So I'll half-heartedly sort of kind of be abstinent, in other words, not. I will half-heartedly work the steps, in other words, not, because, well, I already had God. Thank you very much. And your way of doing it, no. You know what? I'm sorry. I've got the God thing. God's already here with me. I'm good. And before that, years before that, which I seem to have forgotten, I was an atheist who was too polite to tell you I was an atheist because I wanted you to like me. And this wasn't in program. It's just out in life. But I didn't want anything to do with a spiritual life because I was looking down on the people who said they were spiritual, whether they were name a religion or they just said they were spiritual. I was looking down on them. Why? Because I wanted people to be the perfection that I couldn't be. I looked to people for solutions. I looked to diets for solutions. And, you know, thinking about that, isn't it interesting? I would buy into just about any diet, literally. I'd pay good money for it without really investigating much at all. Just saw some picture somewhere or somebody famous who lost this weight, so it must be the way for me. And once I lost all the weight, I was going to be happy. I was going to be in that magical state of self-actualization, okay, or something. I don't know. Everything was going to come together, all my finances, everything. Guess what? I lost the weight numerous times. That wasn't the case. I wasn't happier. I liked my size, but that was it. I was not happy. In fact, I was pretty nuts from the diet. And then I'd go back to eating the way I always ate and gaining the weight back faster than ever. So if anyone's here today, as I was in 2016, contempt prior to investigation and looking down all of it, and I've got God or I don't want God, I'm telling you, when I came back on my knees at the beginning of 2023, I would have done just about anything. I certainly would do anything that my sponsor said to do. And I've done what this book, Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that somehow has something to do with us too. Why? I've done what it says. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. The weight's the least of it. I can't believe how much peace I have in life today. Not always. I don't know. I have my moments. We just moved and it was very, very stressful. But people showed up and helped us. And just that is a story for another time because it was truly, it had to be higher power involved in that. So I have set aside my contempt prior to investigation. I've set aside judging everything and everyone, thank you. And I get to have a freedom today that I've never known before. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T, for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
I heard Karen KZ, and I heard Wendy M. And who else?
Shelly B. from Minnesota.
Was that Shelly?
Shelly from New Jersey.
Shelly B. from Minnesota.
Okay, Shelly B., I got you, and Jeannie Ann, I believe, from New Jersey?
Yes.
Perfect. Who else would like to share? Press star one. I have Karen, Deborah G. I have Karen, Wendy, Shelly, Jeannie Ann, and Deborah G. That's a great lineup. Let's go ahead and start there. Karen, please go ahead and share with us and let us know where you're calling from, if you would, please.
Thank you. This is Karen KZ in Missouri. And this paragraph just really hit me today. I know we're talking about the shortcomings and condemnation of people who don't accept the spiritual way of life, but this just bought into and just made my defects just stand out so strongly. I still have a terrible, terrible tendency, which I keep asking God to please remove. And by the way, he is removing it a little bit at a time, and I have to keep asking. But that whole thing about looking at people's shortcomings, I do that with everything. I mean, if somebody's saying something I don't like, or if somebody doesn't look the way I like, or somebody's not doing it my way. The whole thing of my selfishness, my dishonesty, my self-seeking, my fear, this paragraph just, the whole thing just jumps out at me that I just, you know, I talk about other people being intolerant and I'm the one who's intolerant because I'm talking about them. I mean, I think I look at any time I'm disturbed, really, it's that I'm imperfect. I don't like all of who I am. And then if I find something wrong with you, I don't consciously want to be doing that. But anything I see in you is in me. So if I think you talk too much, or if I don't think you talk enough, or if I think you da-da-da-da-da-da, that is something in me that maybe I don't know. But so for me, this paragraph was, they don't all jump out at me quite like this one did, but the reality and beauty of the forest, because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. That's also true about finding fault with myself and beating up on myself. It's really, everybody is beautiful. There is good in every single person. And that's what God tells me to do, to look for the good. Because you know what? When I look for the good, that's what I find it. When I'm trying to find what's wrong with you, I can find a lot. And so with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Wendy M., it's your turn to share, followed by Shelley B.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Don, thanks for taking the meeting. Always good to hear your voice. Loved that last share. So here's what popped out at me, and this is probably my favorite line in the book. I always say that. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. I grew up in this like groovy liberal Jewish home, right? And the thoughts were like we're tolerant of everyone. Well, it turns out because at least in my Jewish family, the world was unsafe. That's what I learned. So if you're different than us, no. We're gonna judge the heck out of you, right? And literally this intolerance, it's in my DNA. Like, and being intolerant was like a hobby, you know? It was a pastime in my family. It was never really said, but it was always said. You know, I learned that the world's unsafe, and if you're not me, I am definitely going to be intolerant of you. You know, and the beauty today is this notion of an open mind. Lately, I've really been using that, going, well, what if I had an open mind? What if I looked at this from an entirely different angle, you know? And it's like, oh, man, you know what I get when I do that? Freedom. I get tolerance. It's a relief to not be intolerant. It's a relief to be tolerant. It's a relief to have an open mind. I can't even begin to tell you, but like I don't have to judge people. I do sometimes, of course, but I don't have to be afraid of difference, right? And in fact, I might learn something that's not me, right? We get out of self. It's the freedom that we get. I don't know if I have another minute, but you know, on pages 417, he says, I was the chief critic. I was always able to see the flaw in every person, every situation, and I was always glad to point it out because I knew you wanted perfection just as I did, right? And this is really what we're doing to ourselves, this crazy notion of perfection, and then absolutely checking you out to see if you're perfect as well. And I love when he says that. I know you're always glad to point it out. You know, me too. So we get freedom in this program. We get an open mind, a mind that says, let's see something from an entirely different angle. Like what freedom we get from that. And frankly, we become tolerant of ourselves as well. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Shelley B., it's your turn to share, followed by Jeannie Ann.
Thank you. I'm Shelley B. from Minnesota. I just said you got to point out I have schizoaffective disorder, and I won't go on about it. But growing up, even in kindergarten, I hated myself and ripped up a picture of myself. Anyways, I was intolerant of others, too. Walled myself out from the world, even though I had a pretty good family. Walled myself up from knowledge. And as far as liking people, I was afraid of people because I knew they'd find out how dumb I was in my mind. But then I started getting therapy. Am I still on? Hello?
Yep, you still have time.
Oh, I'm sorry, because it went dead a few minutes ago. I had a recall. call back. Now, since day I'm 71, I've always worked, volunteered, to go to school. Yes, people make fun of me, but I find the more, this past 4 years especially now, the more I let go of my prison of self-hatred, and I don't have that much anymore, I'm really struggling in a positive way to listen to people, let them have a chance to get to know me and me to get to know them. And it's a relief to have this program where I hear others talk. That'll pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley B. from Minnesota. We are so grateful to have you here. Keep coming back.
Thank you.
Yes. Jeannie Ann from New Jersey, it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, everyone. This is Jeannie Ann from New Jersey. I thought that before, can you hear me? Hello? I guess
yep,
so.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought I was so spiritual when I came into this program. I thought I got it made, but I didn't know any of this. I never studied the big book until this past 20 months that I've been in this program. So I was just like this paragraph at times, intolerant and judgmental, people's religion, where they shopped, where they, how they ate, what they ate, how they lived, where they lived, and I gossiped. And I gossip, which is something I'm really, really working on. And I realized again, while I was reading this and jotting things down this morning, that when I do these things, it's like looking in the mirror. It's me, you know? It helps, it keeps me, by doing all this gossiping, well, it keeps me from being gossiping and all this that I shared. It keeps me from working on me. It blocks God out, you know? And it keeps me from working on myself. If I'm working on myself and I'm God-centered, I don't have time to think, to do these other regarding how much I'm into it. I don't have time to be criticizing other people. I never thought any of these things had to do with spirituality. When I complain about people like this, it's saying somewhere in the book, it says it's saying that God's not doing his job right, and I know better. You know that self, oh, good old self-reliance, and that's another thing, and not being God-reliant, but it's complaining that God's not doing a good job. Anyway, I'm so grateful to all your shares, and I'm so grateful to this program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeannie Ann from New Jersey. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names. And if you happen to be just joining us, we are talking about page 50, that first paragraph that starts with, instead, we looked at the human defects of these people through one paragraph ending, we never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. So, Deborah G., please share, and then I'll take some more names.
Thank you, Dawn, so much for your service, and thank you all for your shares on 12-stepping me. And, oh, wow, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line, and all those that are making this meeting possible. I love this meeting. I love it. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and a lot of things came up when I heard this paragraph. I remember a sponsor telling me, whenever you start judging, just say to yourself, just like me, just like me. And Yeah, when I remember, I can say it. See, I don't always remember. And I like where it says here, wholesale condemnation, because I do a lot of self-condemnation on my own to myself. And then I have a tendency when I'm doing that to myself, I project that out, you know? You know, so I guess it starts with me where I really need to look at what I'm doing with myself so I don't do that with other people. And then when I'm judging others, I love what was shared too. I'm separating myself from others. You know, I want to stay connected to my divine loving power, presence, light, mystery. Stay connected because I have no power, and I want to be connected with others because I can't do this. I have no power. So every time I do the judging and all of this, I'm separating myself from that. And that's what the beauty is about the program and the recovery and not being in the food, the awareness, is I can see it more today. Where I used to live on and on and on in it, and it would always take me to the food because I didn't feel good about it. You know, that's what I'm learning. If I'm not feeling good, you know, I'm going to look for something to feel good, some ease and comfort. But when I am feeling good, you know, by practicing reality, now that I can see it more, being more awake, alert, aware and alive, then I'm not going to the food. You know, it's an ongoing journey, ongoing process. And I love you all and thank you all for your service today.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared on any vision meeting in the last couple days, we welcome for you to give us your name.
What paragraph? What page?
We're on page 50. That first paragraph starts with, instead, we looked at the human defects of these people. Through that one paragraph ending, we never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. So who would like to share?
Kelly L. Washington.
Kelly L. Washington. And Agnes, did you also give your name? Did I hear someone besides Kelly?
Caroline M.B., California.
Okay, Caroline. Was it M.B., I think, in California? Okay. Who else would like to share? Please press star 1.
Nancy L. from Georgia.
Nancy L. from Georgia.
Agnes A. from California.
Agnes A., California.
Kim G., Colorado.
Kim G., Colorado. Okay, that's a fantastic lineup. I have Kelly L. from Washington, Caroline M.B., Nancy L., Agnes A., and Kim G. Kelly L., please go ahead and get us started.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Kelly L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Washington State. And I just felt excited to share on this particular paragraph because, you know, just remembering, I've been a program for 14 months, and I remember coming in thinking the religion thing was going to be pretty much impossible, more so than putting down my alcoholic foods, actually. I was more stubborn and close-minded and prejudiced about all things religion than really anything else. And I remember coming to step 2 and coming to this area and in the big book, and feeling like, what else do I have to lose? Fine, I might as well have given up this. I've given up this. I might as well just release. I don't know. Give it a go. Be a little open-minded. Be a little willing in all areas. And I mean, that was just such a beautiful moment. It was probably, you know, part of my spiritual awakening, just to release some of that long-held, you know, hatred, really, for things within the religious field, which has just blocked me off from my own sunlight. I mean, it was such a self-punishing way of living, really. But, you know, I am a lesbian, I'm married to a woman, you know, we have this beautiful family, but I have a stepson who is part of a church that's very conservative and notoriously anti-gay. And we never could talk religion. You know, it was just a very sensitive subject. And now he's probably one of my favorite people to talk about God with. And I can't even believe that. I mean, that's more of a miracle to me than having put down the alcoholic food for 14 months. And I can get past all the differences, right? And the stories and some of the words that people choose to use or whatnot. I can go straight to that essence and that core of a loving higher power and just feel connected to everybody, no matter how they express, you know, their relationship to their higher power. So I don't know, it's just one of the many thousands of blessings that we get by following these 12 steps. And if you're like me and you think there's no way that you'll ever get comfortable or ever feel a connection with something like that, just follow the directions in the big book, follow the directions of your sponsor. If it works for me, it'll work for anybody. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly L. from Washington. Caroline M.D., it's your turn to share with us, followed by Nancy L.
Thanks. Yeah, this is Caroline in California, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater and food addict. And this paragraph, yeah, it describes my life for many decades. And in fact, my MO was I knew how everybody should live their life. And if they weren't doing it my way, they needed my opinion, advice, all of that stuff. And the truth is that I had to get some recovery in another program and work the 12 steps and become open to my own character defects before I could be willing to deal with my own addiction, which is food, and which is the need to control everything. So I'm kind of smiling because at this time of year, I'm hearing somebody's breathing on the line, so maybe everybody needs to star one. But I have a large orchard, and I get to prune my trees at this time of year, and that's how I like to use up my control because I'm not harming anybody and I'm actually moving them, these wonderful trees, in a direction of health and productivity, and it makes me smile all the while that I'm doing it. So I'm just really grateful for all the people in this program who have helped and guided me, and whom I'm much more willing to listen to now that I have a little bit of self-awareness. So with that, I will pass and mute.
Well, thank you so much, Carolyn M.D. from California. Nancy L., it's your turn, followed by Agnes A. Star one, Nancy. Yeah, we're not able to hear you, Nancy. Star one. Okay, let's go on with Agnes A.
Okay.
And we'll come back.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
There we are. No worries.
I'm so sorry. I thought I was unmuted.
No worries. Go ahead.
Okay.
I am Nancy L. From Georgia. I'm a compulsive eater, and I've been in the program for 10 years. However, I am a compulsive relapser also. So I can't claim 10 years of abstinence, but I'm working. I'm working on my abstinence and taking care of my body with eating healthy food. But I struggled for a long time when I came to OA because as soon as I came, they started talking about God. And I thought, well, I know this stuff. I've been in church, and I've been taught, and I know the word. And so I kind of backed off because I thought, this is nothing new. So I've tried every other program, and I won't name them all, but I've tried just about everything that was on the market, and they all work for a while, and then I relapse, and I get back to my old form of eating. So I've had to really come to terms with this this understanding of a God, because I certainly thought I was believing in God. However, I was limiting God because I had my own image and my own belief, and nobody was going to change that. And I certainly did not believe God really cared about my eating habits. I knew I was not eating correctly, but I certainly didn't expect God to send me a miracle and make me start eating correctly. But I started to rethink when I worked that step three, and I made a decision. I don't know exactly what this means, God. I don't know. Believer in God since I was 12, and been a binge eater ever since then also. But I thought, I'll turn my life over. But I had such a hard time giving up and turning over my food, because I thought, that's so silly. That is such, I should be able to take care of that myself. And I just had a real hard time believing that there was a God that really cared about what I ate and whether I ate in a healthy way or whether I did my binging every night. But I came to realize that everything, my life is composed of everything, and that includes my eating. It includes my shopping for food, and God wants me to shop for healthy foods, and He wants me to eat healthy foods. And since I've come to believe that, I'm not relapsing so often. Sometimes I still relapse. But anyway, I will pass and mute. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from Georgia. Agnes A., it's your turn to share for 3 minutes, followed by Kim G.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, everybody who has spoken. I really don't have much to add to what I've heard, but I just want to claim my seat, so to speak. Yeah, let's see. I've always been Christian, I guess, you know, but lacking in spirituality, lacking in understanding of, you know, even the basic concepts of spirituality until I came to this program, you know. So even though people who have spirituality in Christianity, people like my mother, you know, and many members of my family showed a degree of stability and happiness and usefulness, I did not really have the nuts and bolts, the steps to achieving that level of spirituality. So instead, I focused on being intolerant of their imperfection, you know, while, of course, you know, not understanding that I, too, was imperfect, you know. But the great wonder of this program for me, you know, has been this is how spirituality works. When you say to forgive somebody, this program tells me how to do it. When it says to make amends, this program tells me how to do it. When it says to surrender an addiction like food and sugar, this program of spirituality tells me how to do it, you know. And I've heard it said that when we look at others and question with a holier-than-thou attitude, we're looking for the perfection that we lack and that we will always lack because nobody is perfect, you know. So instead of continuing on that path, what I'm getting is we never give the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. I have understood, having lost over 35 pounds with just this program and without medications and stuff, you know, that this program works, this program of spirituality, and God cares about my whole person, including my weight, which is a health issue more than a vanity issue. And so this program with all its tools, sponsors, accountability, steps 10, 11, all that stuff tell me this is grace, but it requires action. And the action is to trust God to give me the strength to go to the grocery store and pick the right foods and to report to my sponsor incrementally because it will never be perfect. When I walk this path, my life gets incredibly better. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Agnes A. from California. And we're just a reminder, we're talking about page 50, that first paragraph that starts with, instead, we looked at the human defects of these people. So Kim G., please share with us, and then I'll take another name.
Hi, it's actually Kim T., as in Tyler, compulsive eater from Colorado. This paragraph just hit me between the eyes. I recently come back to the program after being gone for a few years, and I'm just humbled, and I'm sitting here beating myself up. And instead of beating myself up, I thought, well, I'll put my name in to share, and then I'll be able to listen to people. And I have been listening to what others have been saying and really appreciating the fact that I relate. You know, I am, you know, I belong in this program. I earned my seat. And my intolerance has just been so evident lately in my own mind, in my own actions. And I'm not sure if other people have noticed or not. It matters, but it doesn't matter. But I'm really grateful to be reading this morning because it's just making me more time look at another character defect that I'll ask God to remove, and I will just keep, you know, doing the deal and sending my sponsor my food and praying and meditating and attending meetings and giving service. And so I just feel very vulnerable, like I said. So I feel very shaky, but I just want to say thank you to everyone giving service. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kim T. from Colorado, for sharing with us. And I'm now going to take a couple names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. If you haven't shared in the last couple days. Who is that?
Marlene G. Arizona.
W-Z-G.
Okay, Marlene W. And who was after Marlene before Linda, who said the name? Pardon?
Marcy. Was it Marcy G.?
Okay, Marcy G. And then who is after Marcy? What other voice did I hear? Okay, let's go with Marcy G. And please let us know where you're calling from.
This is Marcy G. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I'm calling from Arizona.
Go ahead. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I haven't. I think I called into a vision for you a couple years ago or so, and maybe spoke. I don't remember, but I am calling to get some help. I have been in OA a very long time, in and out. I've been in now since 2011 and abstinent from binging and purging, but I am having trouble. I'm struggling with foods, and I've not wanted to go. I have a food plan that's that no restrictions on what I could eat. It's moderate eating or whatever. But I don't think it's working for me, and I am not peaceful with food. And I am calling to ask for some help. And I can't really speak to the reading. I'm intolerant of myself, and I've been intolerant of others. I struggle with the spirituality part of it, even though I have a higher power. I'm just grateful that there are so many recovering people, recovered people. I'm not comfortable using that word, but anyway, I'll wait and get some phone numbers at the end of the meeting. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marcy G. And I missed Marilee W. Would you like to share, Marilee?
Yes, I'm Marilee, Merrily W, and I live in Northwestern Colorado. It's really good to be here. I'm really grateful to be on this meeting this morning. And I was thinking, you know, about that statement, not giving, you know, the spiritual side of life a fair chance. I don't actually have my book right in front of me. Sorry about that. But, and there's that place of just coming into OA and the spiritual side of life. And it's like the same place on a daily basis. And I'm thinking about that we just have a daily reprieve. We do grow in understanding and effectiveness. We do recover. Those are promises that are so true. And, you know, they're like our first statements of hope. Step two is really about hope, too. Do we hope what worked for others can work for us? And, you know, something came up yesterday. My daughter got married, which was amazing. But there was just a little thing that happened while I was there. And it's a deep wound is what it is. A lot of, you know, bringing up the past, all those things, fear, resentment. Self-seeking, dishonesty can be rolled into one 10-step. But in those deep wounds, you know, there was a brief thought in my head last night of, ooh, it would be nice to just eat. I don't know what I was thinking about eating, but I was just thinking about eating. And so it's those deep wounds. And then hearing that statement today, it's like, am I giving the spiritual side of life a fair chance here? Because we can go back into our character things, but really we have a program of action today that really works. So it's not about beliefs. It's about, am I taking the actions today? Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Merrilee W. from Colorado, and everyone who shared. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Janice P.M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star 1, Janice.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, my name is Jen Kim. I live in Massachusetts, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do for what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact. So abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until